way through Romans chapter 14. And this is the second of four sessions and covers verses 5 through 12. Romans 14, 5 through 12. And this one is called Judge Not. So let's look at the passage. Romans 14, starting with verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and also gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This passage continues the thought introduced in last week's session. Good people can disagree about certain ceremonial practices. Good people can disagree about eating certain foods. Good people can disagree about drinking alcoholic beverages. By the way, there is no disagreement about intoxication or dependence. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, caffeine, or whatever, we are not to be controlled by anything, but God's word, applied and interpreted to us by the Holy Spirit, is the one that should control us. In addition, good people can disagree about which day of the week to set aside for worship, as we see in the example of the Adventists who worship on Saturday. In minor doctrinal issues, if you are following the scriptures as you understand them, if you're convinced that your motives are pure, if you are glorifying God in what you practice and your conscience is clear, then I am comfortable in fellowship and worship with you. Now let's focus on the specific issue of alcohol, which causes strife and controversy in many churches. As we know, churches and even denominations are split over the use of alcohol. Again, let me say intoxication and dependence is the sin. So the first question would be, is there wine mentioned in the scripture? Is that wine an alcoholic beverage or unfermented, or is it grape juice, or what is it? My understanding, yours may be different, is that the wine discussed in scripture is alcoholic. Why? Why do I believe this way? In part because it was used to purify the water of the day. Pure wine is quite strong in alcoholic content. History indicates that it was usually mixed with water, so usually one part wine and seven parts water. In this way, the water supply, which may have a high bacterial content, was purified. Of course, they didn't know about bacteria, but they did know about life-threatening diarrheal diseases like cholera and others. A second confirmation of alcohol content comes from the effects of wine on those who overindulged. They became intoxicated. So we are told, do not drink wine and get drunk with it, wherein is excess. A third reason comes from Christ himself, who demonstrated his divine creative power at his first miracle, the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he quietly changed over 100 gallons of water into the best wine anyone had ever tasted. It was the real deal. So if you are wondering, I drink in moderation. Why? It's not prohibited. Wine or beer goes well with certain foods. I'm not convinced that drinking is sin on biblical grounds. I avoid intoxication, of course. I am accepted by non-Christian friends and Christian friends who are not judgmental. Judge not is the admonition given, which decides this question for me. This discussion leads us to the issue of an unbiblical uses of this liberty we have in Christ. If I exercise this kind of liberty with wrong motives, if I try to demonstrate my superior faith exercising this privilege to the embarrassment or harm to a Christian brother who may be struggling with temptation or guilt, I have sinned. If I drink in the presence of those who abstain with the purpose of showing them that I am right and they are wrong, I have sinned. So in these situations, I do not drink. We should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in every situation. I should not cause my Christian brother to stumble. Finally, I have seen a brother who I knew very well years ago make another serious error. A physician friend of mine is a wine connoisseur and is very proud of it, having traveled to Europe to experience their wines firsthand. He returned home and tried to convince his Southern Baptist friends at church how great wine drinking is. He was expelled from the church. No surprise. If you drink, don't join a church which does not agree with your view. God will not be glorified by you in this case. So, Father, this is a questionable issue and tends to divide believers and denominations and Christian groups. And we pray for your insight, your wisdom. And as people read your word and study your word and trust you, your Holy Spirit's going to move in them and make them feel guilty about it or non-guilty about it, or guilty about the way it's used or non-guilty about the way it's used. And we trust that. We trust you for that. And we pray that we'd not get locked into concerns over minor issues. And again, as we said last week, it's you that died for us on the cross and our faith in you that gives us hope of eternal salvation. And that's the issue we should always focus on. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.